Local people, local stories. This is the All Local from 1010 Winds.
I'm Larry Mullins, and here are today's top local stories. We begin this afternoon downtown at the hush money trial for former President Donald Trump. And it's already over, for today at least. The judge was planning on this being a short day anyway in observance of Passover, but a juror had an emergency dental appointment to go along with that. But in the short time they were able to get in, the state came out swinging.
Opening statements have concluded. The first witness took the stand today in the New York hush money trial of former President Trump. That witness, former National Enquirer publisher David Pecker. Prosecutors in opening statements contending that Pecker met with Trump and his fixer Michael Cohen in Trump Tower to devise a scheme to kill negative stories about Trump while disguising hush money payments as legal charges. On the stand, Pecker saying, quote, "We used checkbook journalism and we paid for stories." Then the judge ending proceedings for the day, but as ABC's John Santucci says, Pecker will be back.
He's going to come back to the stand tomorrow, but nevertheless, it just shows the speed to which Judge Mershon is moving these proceedings with the fact that openings are done. We're already on the first witness for prosecutors.
Dave Packer, ABC News, New York.
And Wind family, I know it sounds weird. The witness's name is David Pecker. This guy's name is David Packer, the reporter there, so we'll get it confused. Anyway, right at the outset, prosecutors aim to elevate the gravity of this case, the first of four criminal prosecutions of Trump, setting the stage for an election interference scenario. And while Trump and his supporters insist this is all a Democratic political ploy, time to distract from his campaign, critics point out this isn't a persecution, but a prosecution of a man who allegedly broke the law, a prosecution which can't be ignored, they say, for a more convenient time. Again, the trial resumes tomorrow morning. Meantime, a defense trust for Mayor Adams just returned $22,000 in improper donations, which apparently came from folks who do business with the city. The Daily News said that the donations came in from a corporate entity and 10 persons with city government interests. A lawyer for the trust, Vito Pita, says the monies were returned in compliance with the law. The fund has spent about $82,000 of the $1 million raised so far on vetting services designed to make sure all donations are on the up and up. Defense trusts can be fined under ethics law for taking illegal donations, but they can avoid the sting of a fine if they locate and then return those monies within 20 days of getting them. A government watchdog says this isn't the first time the Adams Defense Trust had to do that. John Caney with Reinvent Albany says, why not just put the money in an escrow until you make sure it's good, and that way you wouldn't have to go through all this 20-day stuff and sending it back and yada, yada, yada. 1010 Winds has reached out to City Hall for a response. Lots of activity today on the campus of Columbia University. You know, it started last week when the school's president sat down with Congress to discuss anti-Semitism on campus. As you know, the school erupted into pro-Palestinian protests. More than 100 demonstrators were arrested last week. Fast forward to today, and things have gotten so tense, the school announced all virtual classes today. Don't come up here. But just in case, Governor Hochul and the NYPD have been keeping extra vigil to keep the peace. 1010 Winds is there.
Governor Hochul visited campus to meet with Columbia's president and the NYPD.
Students are scared. They're afraid to walk on campus. They don't deserve that. They deserve to be in an environment that is free from discrimination.
There are dozens of NYPD officers on the streets, but not on the campus, which is private property and policed by Columbia Security.
We haven't received any reports of any physical harm against any student. However, if there's any student, Jewish or whoever, that's been assaulted or wants to make a police report or wants to talk to the police, we encourage them to call 911.
Deputy NYPD Commissioner Cass Daughtry said they will ensure students going off campus for Passover Seders are safe. Marla Diamond, 1010 Winds on 92.3 FM at Columbia University.
Also today, state and local lawmakers keeping their eyes on things, concerned about anti-Semitic incidents on school campuses, incidents which actually prompted the hearings in Washington in the first place, and a question of what are the schools doing about it.
The burning of Israeli flags, calling for the bombing of Tel Aviv, and for October 7th to happen over and over. Those are some of the things Jewish students at Columbia are seeing. Congressman Dan Goldman says everyone has a right to speak out, but now it's reaching an unacceptable level.
The rhetoric has escalated to a point where Jewish students feel unsafe, insecure, and broadly harassed.
Some Jewish leaders are telling Orthodox Jews not to come to campus. Congressman Josh Gottheimer.
While the leadership of Columbia may be failing you, we will not. We will do everything in our power to keep you safe.
The school president says anti-Semitic language is unacceptable and announced more security, including here at the Center for Jewish Life. Mac Rosenberg's 1010 Winds on 92.3 FM at Columbia.
Also today, they arrested a guy from New Brunswick in connection with that vandalism at the Center for Islamic Life at Rutgers. This is the incident we told you about last week, which made people nervous on that campus. 24-year-old Jacob Beecher is charged with damage to religious property and making fraudulent statements. Police say he's not affiliated with the school. Windows were shattered. Some artwork was destroyed. An investigation continues. Rutgers police say if you know anything about it, they want you to call to help out in the investigation. AccuWeather says this afternoon, mostly sunny and pleasant with a high of 61. Approaching that already, we're about 59 degrees in Central Park. This just in, that new Terminal A out at Newark Liberty just won another award. Yes, it did. Skytrax just named EWR as the best new airport terminal in the world. In fact, the new $2.7 billion terminal was just recently awarded a prestigious 5-star rating, also from Skytrax. It's like the airport version of the Oscars. They actually held the 2024 Skytrax World Airport Awards in Frankfurt, Germany. I didn't even know they did that. All the big port authority brass flew over there to get the award. Board Chairman Kevin O'Toole says it really goes to the visionary work and the can-do attitude of Port Authority employees. The award covers everything from customer service experience to airport facilities to customer ease. Gotta hand it to him. It is truly one of the biggest, cleanest, and easiest airports to get through. Even the ride-hail app services out on the curb seem to be pretty orderly. I love it.
Thanks for listening to the All Local from 1010 Winds. And for the latest news, traffic, and weather, tune to 1010 Winds, visit 1010winds.com, or download the Odyssey app to take us wherever you go.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.